Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you as always by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cakes Auville, and Jason Bishop. That is the foursome. We'll get back to your calls in 20 minutes, but joining us right now is Mike Jones, USA Today NFL columnist. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Mike, before we dive into the name change, I'm just curious, how many years were you going to the park every day and a beat reporter?
It was 9 years.
9 years. And in those 9 years, how many times did you have a one-on-one, if any, with Daniel Snyder?
Zippy.
Yeah.
Never.
Right. I could have answered that for you, JP.
Yeah. No, but just put that in perspective. 9 years, he's going there every day and never has.
Let me
a
ask you this,
one
Mike.
With Daniel Snyder.
Let me ask you this, Mike. How many
Good.
I was going to say, how many times did you actually see him?
Oh, you saw him like on the practice field every day, and you know he would walk past the group of reporters every day, you know, rarely acknowledging. The one time I had any one-on-one interaction was in New Orleans at the owners' meetings. I was on the elevator. He was about to get on and almost jumped out of his skin when he saw I was on. And I was like, no, I'm going up. And he, like, really, like, had to think long and hard. He got on there, and it was an awkward 30-second ride up. And he was – I tried to have a conversation with him, but he was – very uncomfortable.
He's a reclusive weirdo hermit.
He's a weirdo.
I mean, that's just what he is. I mean, this is what he's showing.
I can't believe someone married him.
He's got money. It's money, man. You got the money. Anybody will marry you.
I mean, there's no way they ever talk.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, so I was asking you that because, you know, now it's being reported that Fred Smith and the other minority owners, I guess, approached Snyder about buying him out. He apparently said no. How much did you deal with the minority owners? We never knew that they owned that much of a stake of the Redskins.
Yeah, no. I mean, you would see Shar walking around with him more than anybody. You know, when I think at games, you would probably see another guy, and you're like, who's that? Oh, I think he's a minority owner. You didn't really know who a lot of these people were, and you didn't really see them there on a day-to-day basis. You know, again, it was always mostly him walking down with Bruce or him walking down with Larry Hess, you know, or maybe Dwight Schar, and that was about it.
So where do we stand with this whole name thing? You know, I had kind of come to grips with Warriors. I was like, you know what, I could buy that. There was a part of me that thought maybe somebody could tie that to Native Americans, but I was like, well, there's no way they'd use Native American imagery. They'll just talk about veterans and that sort of thing. But now we're hearing that they don't want anything to do with it. They don't want people to even try to make that link at all. So, I mean, Red Tails is a nice story, but I don't really see the tie into D.C. here. Where do we stand? What is your best guess on this, Mike?
You know, I had thought Warriors too, because Ron Rivera in his interview with the Post said that, you know, they wanted to find the name, or maybe it was in a statement. I can't remember which one it was, where he talked about wanting to honor Native American culture and the military. And so the only way I could figure they would do that was with Warriors. But yeah, I'm with you. If it's not Warriors, then I mean, Red Tails comes to mind because of the HTTR. They're talking about the similar color scheme. So if it's not that, I really don't know. And I've talked to a lot of people, and it sounds like maybe only three people are in on these conversations, you know, Snyder, right. Rivera, and maybe, you know, their lawyers or something like that. But it's a pretty, pretty tightly, you know, held secret on what those several names that they're considering are.
Mike, do you think the name change happens before the 2020 season, which is not that far away? And to undertake something as massive as a rebranding and a name change generally takes a lot longer than 4 to 6 weeks. Do you think they find like a placeholder type of name, think about it, actually, you know, think about it for a year or so, and then come up with a permanent name? Or are they just going to come out with something in the next few weeks before the season starts?
Yeah, I mean, we saw Ron Rivera say he would like to have it happen before the start of the 2020 season. Before that, when I was asking around, a lot of people said, well, I mean, you could make a name change in, you know, a couple weeks, but it's a lot of money, and there's a lot of legal things that have to take place. Now, if they kept the same color scheme, it also takes a long time for uniforms to get approved by the league. Mm-hmm. But if you kept the same uniforms and just slapped a different logo on the helmet while you were doing all the trademark stuff, then it could be, you know, a matter of weeks. I had asked around, you know, this week, and some people do think that it's within 2 to 3 weeks we could hear what that new name is going to be. I don't think it'll be a placeholder name. I think whatever is, they'll go with it. While still, yes, it takes a while to do all the paperwork, and, you know, there's so many different aspects of it for the rebranding, but I think that they would like to get this thing, I know Rivera would like to get this thing taken care of, so it's not a matter that the players are having to be asked about or deal with, even though media access is going to be so severely limited anyway. But he wants it done and out of the way, so he's not sitting there trying to watch film and then having to, you know, look at pictures or mock-ups and deal with, you know, any of that stuff, because unfortunately there is no team president. And a lot of the decision-making falls on him on non-football stuff as well.
All right, so, Mike, let's talk about the start of camp and then obviously the start to the season. You obviously saw the story that the Ravens announced yesterday that they have cut the capacity of M&T Bank Stadium by almost 82%. They're going to cap it at 14,000. What do you think the odds that they actually get to 14,000? Do you foresee them allowing 14,000 fans, other stadiums as well, or do you think it's going to be smaller than that, if not zero fans? How do you think this all kind of plays out?
Well, it's still really early because we don't know how this thing is going to change between now and the start of the season. I would be surprised, though, if teams open the season with fans in it at all in the stadium. It might be, you know, later in the fall that they wind up being able to let people in, but it seems, you know, overly ambitious. Even the players are still uncertain on whether all of this is going to work and if it's going to be safe. And they're still haggling back and forth. They want to, but, you know, there's still questions and a lot of concerns. And the owners are more kind of gung-ho on their determination to try to operate as normal as possible. But I know people in the league office do think that, hey, these guys are being a little bit overly ambitious here. So I would be surprised if there are fans in the stands to start the year.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that at this point.
What about Raheem Mostert of the Niners and his agent requesting a trade now from San Francisco? Yeah. Of course, he was their best running back last year, almost 800 yards and 10 touchdowns. He's actually the fourth highest paid running back on the team. He's getting paid less than the fullback.
Wow.
He's actually getting paid less than McKinnon, who hadn't played in 2 years. He's going to – I read it this morning. He's going to make a little bit less than $3 million this year and 2.8 in 21 as part of a 3-year deal. He says, you know what, tear it up. I'm your best running back. Let's redo this thing. Now he wants out.
Yeah, it's really tough for a running back because the shelf life, that earning potential window is so small. And, you know, by the time his contract is up, he's basically going to be, you know, chewed up and used goods, and his ability to earn a bigger contract will be significantly hampered. But at the same time, teams don't like doing a lot of reworking, especially
especially now, you
know, yeah, because they don't know what the economics are going to be. They don't know how much of a season there's going to be. They don't want to load up a bunch of guarantees for a running back, which, I mean, all of Kyle Shanahan's running backs were productive, and so they're probably looking at this thing saying, well, look, we like you, not this year. And we'll see if they're willing to trade him or not. They might just say, hey, you got to deal with it, and then we'll revisit this thing in the offseason. Otherwise, we'll just plug somebody else in and keep rolling.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what they're going to do.
What does Patrick Mahomes' contract mean for Dak Prescott?
I think that it means that you can definitely expect to see Dak get somewhere between $35 and $39 million a year. You know, I don't think we'll see anybody get a 10-year deal for a while now, but I do think that the average, the annual salary for guys like Dak and for Deshaun Watson is going to be, you know, a pretty penny. I mean, Russell Wilson is at 35 as the highest guy until now we see Patrick Mahomes at 45. So the bar is, you know, been raised, but also everybody knows that those guys aren't going to surpass Patrick Mahomes. It's going to be a while before anybody does surpass him. Maybe not until, say, Lamar Jackson won the Super Bowl next year or the year after that. But, yeah, I think that, you know, Dak's talk about wanting to have, you know, believing in himself as a $40 million a year quarterback, he's not too far off. So I think that Deshaun Watson probably a little bit higher than him. But, hey, it is the Cowboys that he pays for, and so – you know, even if it's a 4-year deal, which is what he wanted, you know, they'll continue to haggle on that thing there, and time is running out for them to get this thing done before the 15th. Otherwise, he plays under the franchise tag. But Jerry's going to have to come off of that money and give him between $35 to $39 million a year.
Get that money.
We're joined by Mike Jones from USA Today. What is going to be the fallout from the Deshaun Jackson posting on Instagram, the anti-Semitic messages he posted there? What's the punishment from the NFL and or from the Eagles? It can't be sitting well with the Eagles. First of all, it's embarrassing, and the fact that their owner and their general manager are both Jewish.
Yeah, it's been interesting to see. It's hard to say, but right now we know that they have done their part to try to educate him. I mean, look, if you talk to Deshaun Jackson, I remember his time here in Washington. I mean, he took a knee, I believe, during that year, and then after the game, he didn't really have a good reason why. It was almost like he was doing it because everybody else was doing it. He's not, I mean, he's not the brightest bulb. I think his intentions are good. He does a lot in his community back in Cali, but they're trying to educate him. They put him in, you know, they had him meet with a local rabbi, educating him on, you know, what he said, the sufferings and struggles of the Jewish community and things like that. I don't know exactly how much of his contract has guarantees. If it's got a lot of guaranteed money, then they wind up keeping him, and maybe there's you know, a fine from the NFL. But, you know, he has apologized profusely. What is it? I think like 3 or 4 apologies now. But we do see that for right now, the Eagles are taking the education approach, which is good because, again, I mean, he's almost like your neighbor on Facebook who's spouting off stuff, you know, without even really knowing what they're saying and sharing, and not even realizing. I don't know how many people I've had that I like have come at, you know, and they're like, oh, man, I didn't know what that was. Man, I'm sorry, you know, I love black people, you know what I mean? Stupid stuff. And Sean Watson isn't bright enough to realize you don't quote Hitler no matter what, dude, you know, and so they're working on educating, and then we'll see if there's some type of punishment down
the Eagles, by the way, they deal with time bombs like that. Riley Cooper dropping the N-bomb, now Deshaun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I don't know what it is about those wide receivers that they like.
Riley Cooper dropped it, and they gave him a 5-year deal.
Right.
Exactly.
They just threw money at him.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that in the coming days they immediately set up a meeting for him and then different things like that and issued that one statement, it makes me think that, you know what, he must be have a lot of guaranteed money in the last year of that deal there, and they're going to work on, you know, trying to pick him up and, you know, educate him rather than just punish and, you know, release.
Not the brightest bulb. That's not that an understatement.
No.
Mike, great catching up with you. Stay safe. Best of luck to you and your family.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Same to y'all.
Thank you, buddy.
9 years as a beat reporter, every day at Redskins Park, never had a one-on-one with Daniel Snyder. Got in an elevator with him for 30 seconds.
Well, he's notoriously distrustful of the media. So
I'm asking each one of you this question. Yeah. If you were in that same situation, you were on an elevator, and Snyder got on, what would you say to him?
Hey, Danny boy, how's it going?
I think I would do much like EV. I would say who I was, try and shake his hand to make him uncomfortable.
What are you guys talking about? Elevator etiquette is stare straight ahead and
don't talk to
anybody.
We have to stand in opposite corners.
No, I'm not even talking about COVID. I mean, but pre-COVID, if anybody you don't know walks onto an elevator, you just
force, but he's
you
saying,
stare at the wall. At the wall.
Yeah, okay, but put it this
normal,
way. Like if Mike Tyson walks in,
right.
If Mike Tyson
you're
walks in,
say
you go,
something.
Hey, Mike, what's up, man? Big fan. If Dan Snyder walks in, you're going to go, oh, man, here's the douche.
You're going to try and rip a fart in the elevator.
I would have to say something.
Suffocate him.
Just for the story of it, I'd have to say something.
Maybe if I was Jason, I'd say, hey, you're actually taller than I thought.
Hey, your hands aren't that small after all.
Well, I'd be lying.
I know. Yeah. I'm just saying.
No, I would definitely say something to him.
I would ask him when was the last time he played Dungeons & Dragons.
I would say Dan. I wouldn't call Mr. Snyder. Hey, what's up, Dan?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely not calling him Mr.
Snyder. I'm not interested
Snyder.
In talking to him unless he wanted to come on and like do an interview.
Right. You'd have to interview. Just for the story.
He'd have nothing to say.
Yeah. If he wants to sit down on the show, I'd love to have him. But, I mean, I'm not going to get my rocks off just talking to the guy in the elevator.
I don't believe all these the few people we've heard over the years say, well, if you just had a drink or two with him, you'd really get along with him.
Yeah. Danny Smith,
I'm not buying that.
Danny Smith told me that multiple times.
Well, I know three people that have said that, actually. Yeah. But I also know several people that have
worked for him. Now, they all work for him.
I know several people that have worked for him, though, that said he's an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Nightmare.
Yeah. I'd probably side with those people.
Yeah.
Well, look, I think it speaks volumes when somebody's at the park every day, sees you, the guy knows who you are, and he doesn't want to jump on an elevator.
Well, how about also just when you see people every day, you nod, you smile.
Of course, you say
you're
hello.
You're a human being.
Exchange pleasantries.
You know, even though like those Els Old chicks like hated Valdez and they'd at least smile.
They say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You know. Imagine right, that. Imagine it was like 10 times worse than Karina and Sonny. And Sonny. 10 times worse. Karina and Sonny would at least smile.
All right, let's take a break. It is Open Line Thursday, 800-636-1067. And we can throw that out there as a hypothetical. If you were on an elevator for 30 seconds with Daniel Snyder, what would you say to him? 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. This is The Fan. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. It is an Open Line Thursday presented by Window Nation. You're searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home because it's where you live. 800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime in. Thought it was an interesting thought. What if you were on an elevator with Daniel Snyder for 30 seconds? So, Cakes, you wouldn't say anything?
I don't talk to people that I don't know.
I understand
in an
that,
elevator.
But this is different.
I don't care if it's Dan Snyder. I don't care if it's Jeffrey Lurie from the Eagles.
If Alex Ovechkin walked on an elevator, he wouldn't say anything to him.
I probably would leave him alone.
Really?
Hold on.
Most likely, yes.
Singer of Rat got on the...
Stephen Pearcy?
Yeah, you wouldn't say, hey, man, big fan.
I'd say, how'd you get so ugly?
I mean, come on. He's lived a hard life, man. If you were Bret Michaels, I would rekindle our relationship. Stephen Pearcy, I was lucky enough to take a picture with him.
Ozzy.
What about Ozzy? He was kind of blow offish, so I don't know if there would be much there to talk about. Ozzy, he probably wouldn't remember anything we talked about, so probably doesn't make any sense. I am staring straight at the wall and praying that the elevator ride is over as quickly as possible.
No, you'd look at your phone is what you'd do.
Okay, I'd probably look at my phone.
It's
not a cop out.
It's a cop out.
It's not a cop out.
If Phil Ivey was on there, you'd be giddy.
Phil Ivey, you think he wants to talk? You think he wants to talk to the guy who trolls the
league? What about Phil Hellmuth, who's a motor mouth? What if Phil Hellmuth walked on, or Daniel Negreanu? You wouldn't say both those guys can't shut up.
Yeah, but those guys, I'm sure they want their privacy, too. They don't want some jackass.
You know what? Cakes is just a quiet guy. He doesn't really say anything. He likes to go to a restaurant at 4 p.m.
That's how he lives, yeah.
That's true, but what's weird about this is I remember that Super Bowl where we saw Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali was watching a Tyson fight, I believe it was.
Cakes didn't talk to him.
He didn't talk to him, but he's the only junkie who actually went up to him and took a picture with him. Jason stood 10 feet behind him.
Take a picture. I hate that picture's guts. I don't know where it is. I was wearing, track pants and a mock turtleneck. Yeah. And I probably weighed 208 pounds.
Is that a lot or a little?
208 pounds? That's a lot.
Oh. What do you weigh currently? I have
probably about 208 pounds. I hated that picture. I despised it.
Yeah. But my point is, you're the only one that actually went up to him.
Yeah, you had some balls.
Well, that was a weird scene, too, because there were 1,000 people just
staring
at Muhammad
Ali. I went
to
Van Gundy, too, in New York. And you know what? That didn't go swimmingly.
Did you give him your business
card? Maybe that scarred you.
I don't know. Maybe. Did I give him my business? No.
I feel like you gave him your business card.
I don't think so.
From the call into the show.
No, I just went up to him and told him we were doing a show in New York, and if he wanted to come on. Maybe I gave him the card with our number, and then I just felt like a giant a-hole.
I think that's when
that's when
100 people were outside the practice court watching Anna Kournikova.
That's
hit
correct.
Balls.
So I was one of the creeps crawling around trying to get a peek.
You're telling me that wasn't fun to look at that tushy?
You know what wasn't fun? Riding in the world's oldest limo.
Oh,
With a Romanian driver.
With no AC, by the way.
I think Jason had debilitating back pain, didn't you?
I had to lay on the floor. It was just awful.
Brutal. Hey, don't take a cab. Let's get in this hoopty limo from 1978.
It was 106 degrees inside that
guy thing. Looked like a Croatian mobster, right? I thought he was going to kill us.
Yes.
I do remember someone giving Van Gundy a card.
Cakes.
It was me.
Yeah, we asked him
to be
on the show.
Yes.
It was a homemade business card.
Because you guys are too scared to go up to him. So I said, screw it, I'll do it. What do I have to lose?
Yeah. Cakes lost his balls. He won't even say something to Daniel Snyder on an elevator.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't think I would say anything to Danny either.
Here's why. Because Daniel Snyder has nothing to say.
Yeah.
He is a boring billionaire sports owner that's weird around people. He's reclusive. I guarantee anything that I said to him would garner no response or a weird response. So why am I going to waste my time talking to him?
Right. But if a guy that you know is kind of gregarious and is if Barkley walked in or something, somebody that's nice or Shaq or something, you would say, hey, man, big fan.
Eric, would you say something to Tiger?
He's also off-putting in a douche. Yeah.
I would have to say something.
He sucks.
Like,
his
Tiger
personality sucks.
He could own the Redskins.
Yeah, but I think I go with EB's route with Daniel Snyder just to see. I know he's awkward. I know he's uncomfortable.
I might try to intimidate
him.
But
I say something just to see it in person. You know what I mean? I might go the whole way. I might go the whole nine yards and say,
you could troll
him. Hey, Mr. Snyder. I'm JP Flame from the Sports Junkies. Would love to have you on the show. He's never going to come on the show.
Tax.
But I just would want to see what happens. Why is it a terrible tack? He's going to be gone in 20 seconds, and I'll never see him again.
Let me tell you how phony everybody is. Back in 2011, Dan Snyder came by 106.7 The Fan and did an interview on Mike Wise's show and LeVar and Dukes.
I don't remember that.
It was in Dallas on Radio Row.
It was the Super Bowl.
I was there.
I remember that. Yeah,
we were right there.
Yep.
Actually,
we were.
Let me tell you. Everyone there had trashed Daniel Snyder for the 2 years we'd been on the air.
Right. Uh-huh.
Daniel Snyder walks up, and it was like Tom Cruise had just walked in there.
Well, that's because he's such a recluse.
Everyone was so nice to him. they would have washed his feet if he would have if it, given the chance.
People, yeah, that's just the way we are.
That's just the way humans are.
The way most
nobody would
are.
Trash him. They'd
yeah,
be blown away. They'd
stand
be standing next to him
and say something to him in an elevator. I'm like,
I wouldn't
cakes.
Be blown away to stand next to him. He luck boxed his way in because Howard Milstein's deal fell through. And he outmaneuvered Fred Smith.
I'm just telling you, I've seen it happen.
That's fine.
No, I understand what you're saying, and that is
but
also.
That was also like a radio interview. You want him to sit there and be comfortable.
Right.
No,
yeah,
I'm talking about Redskins. I'm talking about everyone there.
Oh, fans.
The fans, all the other media, people from 106.7. Everybody was oohing and ahhing.
Well, hold on. First of all, it
couldn't
was a
wait
big
to
coup.
Touch him.
Hold on.
Shake
it was
his
a
hand.
Big coup for the radio station to have Dan, because he never does interviews, sit down. So that's one reason. And then fans, I mean.
I can't believe you.
Snyder didn't know who Chad was. Chad was wearing a Redskins parka. Snyder walked by Chad and said, "Hey, I like your coat." And Chad melted into the floor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what would you say, Drab? You got 30 seconds.
Well, I don't have
elevator.
Any animosity towards him. I would just say hello. I'd pitch him on my new name, I guess. That's all I'd have.
Yeah. I'm Washington because Football Club?
I'm Washington Football Club.
I
right
like
now.
It. I'm,
or
I'm,
agents.
I'm in your corner.
Agents.
Well, maybe ask him about a new stadium.
No,
well, yeah, but I'd ask. I'm curious about the new stadium.
Right.
Nobody ever has any info on that.
He doesn't either. Here's a bulletin. He has no info on a new stadium either.
I'd also ask him why the field conditions are such crap.
Well, you couldn't get all
no,
that
you
in
wouldn't.
30
yeah,
seconds.
I would. No, I'd might pitch to go back to field turf or go to field turf. Looks
right,
better
on
TV.
800-636-1067. It is open on Thursday.
Better. That's true, Drab.
Who's up?
Let me see here. Hold on one second. Let me see. I saw there was a guy from Australia. Is he still there? Is Greg still there?
No,
no?
He's gone.
No,
he's
no.
Gone.
You got to refresh, Rick.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Anthony in D.C., line three. Anthony, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. This is a long-time caller.
What's up, man?
All right. So, first of all, before I answer the Danny Snyder question in the elevator, let me say this. Does 106.7 The Fan has anyone that can come on the radio from after Dukes? Because it's been horrible listening to reruns of you guys, especially yesterday.
What?
When I talked
you're
about
insulting what? The host now?
You started off by saying longtime
how
fan.
How dare you?
Whoa, whoa,
but
whoa.
Not enough to hear a replay.
Hold on. You hate our replays?
Because he's heard the
because
show.
Because I don't want to hear the show twice, especially didn't want to hear y'all talk about poop. For half an hour
hey,
on
I'm
my way
you.
To work.
I'm with you there.
Come on, man. I like a good poop story.
Do you work in the evenings?
Oh, come on. Hey, I'm drinking my coffee, listening to the Junkies, and on my way to work, that's all I get to hear was the poop. And I was, and then on my way back, I hear y'all talking about it again in the
right,
evening.
That's
I'm
hilarious.
Like, I can't think.
Radio.com.
I just have one question because you're a guy, and I feel like it's just kind of like a universal thing. It's in our DNA. Are you telling me after you have a good poop, you don't feel silly? You don't feel amazing?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. What would you say to Dan if you saw him in an elevator?
If I saw Dan in the elevator, I would tell him that he was one of the worst owners in sports history, and then I would look him dead in his. And then I would look him dead in his eyes and ask him for a job.
Well, I don't think that would work.
To go about it.
Yeah, he's probably not going to say yes to that.
Yeah, I would butter him up before I asked him for a job. Don't you think?
Yeah. But I'm doing reverse psychology. I'm being brutally honest and going to make it as a joke, but at the same time being honest and just look at that and
so
look
hold
at
on.
And look at them. Look at the dollar signs in his eyes.
Yeah. So hold on. I kind of get what you're saying, though. You kind of feel like if you disrespect him, he might like you a little more because you're willing to
honest.
Say anything. You're being honest. And then you ask him for a job. Maybe that might work. I see where you're going. I see where you're going.
Yeah, because it's like you being honest with someone that's used to people just sucking up to him all the time.
Right, like what Drab was just talking about.
I think that's what Dan Snyder likes. I think he likes to have mindless cronies sucking up to him all the time.
Yeah.
That's probably what he surrounds himself with.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does. All right, Anthony, thank you, buddy. Funny guy. Thank you,
man. No problem. All right, guys, thanks for having me on. And I'm available after Dukes if you guys need me to come on.
All right, hire him.
Well, he did the same thing to us. He insulted us, and then he asked for our job.
Overtime with Anthony.
By the way, I got a good poop story from this morning if you want to hear it.
You do?
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah?
No, nice. I'm just kidding.
Let's go to Chris in D.C. Chris, what's up, buddy?
He's not there.
Oh, Jesus. All right, let's go to Chip in Manassas. Chip, line one.
Chip Chirimbas.
Morning, guys. Hey, you know what Anthony just described was the Costanza move. You yell at Steinbrenner, remember, from Seinfeld, and then Steinbrenner praises him, gets him the job. So I was on an elevator and with very super sized first Caps game in a while, and somebody had given me tickets that are far beyond what I would ever pay. Right. And I was trying to find what's the Etihad Lounge from that airline Etihad.
Yeah.
No idea where to go. No idea. And I'm going down, and I think I'm on some luxury elevator with my friend, and Ted Leonsis gets on, and I'm so excited. I go, Ted, oh, my God, we love you. Thank you. And he goes, oh, no problem. Hey, good to see you. And then he goes, where are you going? And I go, trying to find the Etihad Lounge. He hits the button on the elevator for me. He goes, you're going one too low. He hits it for me and couldn't be nicer, and I skipped on my way to free food and drinks. It was unbelievable.
Beautiful.
Yeah. There you go.
It's Jay.
Well, Ted is the opposite of Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, he's very approachable.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like a people person. He's outgoing.
Right.
You know what he is? He's normal. Right. Unlike Dan Snyder.
And, by the way, a winner.
A winner.
True.
Oh, that is true. Compared to Dan, you're right.
800-636-1067 is the number. It's open line Thursday right here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on an open line Thursday, 800-636-1067. Before we get back to the calls, and it is your chance to steer the show, I just saw this. I thought it was a joke on thebiglead.com. Jason, you might be interested in this. Apparently, In Development is a sitcom based on Paul Feinbaum.
Oh, wow.
Really?
I mean, he is an interesting guy. I mean, I think his Q rating is so low, like nationally.
I would think so. Didn't they actually, though, did they do one on Kornheiser? Based sitcom based on Kornheiser.
They did.
So, I mean, I guess they've gone down this road before.
Right.
But his Q rating in SEC country
is super high. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
I guess, you know, you could have wacky storylines with callers.
Right.
I guess it's in development. Who knows? I don't think Hollywood's shooting anything right now.
Some of the callers that call from the trailer parks down there that just get so bitter at his takes on certain schools.
So who does he work
mostly
for?
Mostly Alabama.
Who does he work for? Is it a local show or is it like
ESPN / SEC Network?
Yeah, he works
right?
for ESPN.
So okay, but is it only regional or is it like what time is his show on? Midday?
3 o'clock maybe.
3 o'clock, yeah.
Is it on all over the country on ESPN? Radio? I don't know what their lineup is.
Oh, he's got a TV show.
Okay, so that's on.
He's got a TV show on
ESPN 2 or something.
He's got a TV show on the SEC Network.
On the SEC Network.
Pretty sure it's SEC Network.
And then I think they stream it on Sirius ESPNU channel.
Okay, I just don't know how he's distributed. That's the question I'm asking.
Yeah. Anyway, interesting. The article says that there's actually a well-known actor interested in playing the lead, doesn't say who it is, but it's just in the development pitch phase. I swear, when I first saw it, I thought it was just a joke story, but apparently it's real.
Well, I mean, you don't have to know who he is for it to still be a compelling, interesting story, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, I think, Ray Romano's show, Everybody Loves Raymond, he played a sports writer.
Right, right.
It would depend on who the actor is. If the actor is, somewhat popular and kind of looks like him. I mean, he can be a funny character. I mean, they get him to do some funny thing, goofy things, even though he's kind of nerdy and kind of dry.
You know what? They need a Roger on that TV show. It's a great character.
Who's Roger?
Our Roger.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a Kramer-type radio engineer.
Right. Like a wacky, reclusive, kind of quirky guy.
Yeah, if you want to do old man radio, we grew up watching WKRP in Cincinnati. Yeah.
Well, that was
great. Which had, wacky DJs and engineers.
Yeah, but that was actually funny.
Right. That was all right, let's go really back good. To the phones. 800-636-1067. Who's up?
All right, let's see. Let me see. Is Tommy there? Tommy in Alexandria?
Tommy.
Sure. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Hey, how are you, bud?
I found one of the few people in the world that actually would bank him. So one of my mom's best friends worked for the Redskins from, like, the early 80s.
Yeah.
And she ended up getting cancer in the early 2000s.
Ooh.
And Dan Snyder left her on the payroll and paid for her insurance till she passed away. So
wow.
It was cool. She had three rings up on her mantle and all that stuff. So like she got some Super Bowl rings from back in the day. But you know, so it was like he sucks as an owner, but you know, I'm one of the few people in the world that probably would bank him. So
well, that'd be nice. And I have heard nice stories. Like
he's not totally evil. He's not totally evil.
Nice stories from the people over at Children's Hospital about him.
Yeah, I think he's very charitable.
Yeah.
And Cakes will tell you, not everybody's completely evil. Dexter does good things, right, Cakes?
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, buddy. I mean, John Gotti would throw a nice fireworks party every year, right, in Little Italy.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, even the mob does nice things.
You could be a monster and still do some nice things from time to time.
And by the way, Dexter had a code. He only killed bad guys.
Right. Everybody knows the code. Come on, everybody knows that.
I was
so glad when he killed Jimmy Smits. At the end of season 3. I was
so happy.
So Jimmy Smits was a bad guy, obviously.
You didn't know he was on the show? Cake's been talking about him all week.
He was a bad guy, and he was an annoying character as well. So it gave me great joy and pleasure when Dexter nixed him.
Right.
It's been years since I watched it, Cakes, because I watched it when it was actually on the air.
I'm catching up. I'm very
Remind
late to
me,
the party.
Did Smits become like a serial killer, too?
Yes, he wanted to be Dexter's pal, and that included killing people. But he was annoying, so I was glad when Dexter killed him.
All right, let's go to Joe in Baltimore. Joe, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, Junks. How y'all doing?
What's up?
All right. What's up?
I guess I want to recall in. I called Tuesday and said I feel sorry for Snyder, and then I hung right up, and you guys asked if I was a fan. So if I saw him in the elevator, I mean, I kind of feel really bad for him during this whole thing.
Why do you feel bad for him?
Because this whole, like, everyone's coming after him. Like, I hate saying it. I think the name should change with the cancel culture. Where's Nike and all these corporations? Are they donating any money to natives? I mean, all they're doing is trying to make themselves look good by doing this and coming after the name now.
They'll have their comeuppance. They'll go after Nike again.
Don't worry. They're not paying the sweatshop workers $15 an hour now.
Yeah, they'll go after
them.
They're
not doing that.
They're not doing that.
Right. I just found it laughable that those companies say we care for Native Americans.
Philip Knight he's a buffoon.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead. Well, no, he's actually a smart businessman.
I'm just saying, I mean, when it comes to this.
Yeah.
Of course he's a smart businessman, but he's fake.
I guess just what I was saying is I feel bad for him. I think he made mistakes as an owner. He's trying to learn from that. And he's not the best guy to be taught. He's afraid to talk to people. It seems, I don't know.
He's a weirdo.
Exactly. It's easy to trash the guy. But as you heard from the previous caller, he does some nice things, his charities and stuff. He's trying to figure out how to be an owner. I mean,
are you fan of the team or are you like a Ravens fan? Are you like
I'm a diehard fan, EB. I had season tickets, but maybe I'm stupid because I only bought one season ticket, so I had to drive up there from Baltimore all the time, and it was just such a pain.
You were going up there by yourself?
Yeah.
And you were sitting there by yourself?
Hell yeah, EB. Big fan right here.
Oh, dude, you're like a weirdo like Dan. You're like your own weirdo. You guys Nobody does out. That.
Who buys one season ticket?
You go to games by yourself, like, on the regular?
No, I mean, I got rid of it. When I got out of college and had a job, I was just like, wow, I could finally afford Redskins tickets. But it wasn't the regular ones. I had to buy the club level.
Yeah.
And they were, like, $6,000 a year.
Yeah.
So I couldn't buy, like, two.
Right.
I mean, it was a poor money decision. Like,
yes, it was.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What do you do for
a
living?
The point is, didn't you have a buddy who might want to buy his own ticket, and you guys sit together? Yeah. Like when the Orioles went to Camden Yards, me, EB, Stumper, we all went in on tickets.
Yeah, we chopped them.
I mean, none of my friends are Redskins fans. I'm not from D.C. I'm not even from Baltimore. I'm from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. So I moved here for a job, you know?
Right. So what do you do for a living?
Sorry to hear that.
I'm an engineer.
You're from Wilkes-Barre.
You're an engineer.
Wait, what?
Okay. And are you married?
No.
Yeah.
He's socially awkward, EB.
Are you
as feel
you're
it
socially
on the phones.
Awkward, aren't you?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Do you have a,
I
girlfriend?
Have a girlfriend?
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
You hit the skins on a regular?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, what's wrong with being from Wilkes-Barre?
I'm kidding. Jeez.
No, it's just that you, I don't know.
Don't
you
get
go to
so
games
defensive.
By yourself. It's just kind of weird.
I don't know, man. I enjoy my alone time, just like anyone else.
Well,
you know what?
Doesn't?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
What kind
on that.
Of alone time is there in front of you? That's not really alone time when you got thousands of fans there.
Well, he's kind of alone in FedEx Field.
Yeah, he's high-fiving himself after each touchdown.
Yeah. All right, guys. Good talk.
Hey, let me. Hey, real quick. Hey, what? can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
So I was kind of kidding about the Wilkes-Barre thing, but the reason I kind of goof on people from Scranton or Wilkes-Barre or, you know, mm-hmm. central Pennsylvania is that when I was a bellman at the Carousel Hotel in Ocean City, mm-hmm. any time there was a lot of people from PA that would come through, and if they were from Philly, they were really good tippers. You know, if they were like from South Jersey, Philly area, really good tippers. If they were from Scranton or Wilkes-Barre,
terrible.
Or Allentown, or I don't know, some of those other podunk towns, they were awful tippers.
Do you know who the most famous? When I think of Wilkes-Barre, I think of a certain two people. Really, one person more than the other.
Didn't Ricky Waters from Wilkes-Barre?
He might be, but I think of Rocket Ishmael. The Ishmael brothers were from
right.
Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Oh, maybe it was him I was thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
His brother Kadri, the missile.
The Kadri, I mean, I like Kadri, and he's been on the show, but, I mean, let's be honest, it was all about Rocket.
Right.
Ricky Waters is from Harrisburg.
Yeah.
That was another bad town, too. Bad tipping town. So all I'm right, sorry, dude. Up, I was just kind of kidding, but kind of not.
Coming up next, our pal Tom Lavero writes for the Washington Times, contributes right here on The Fan. He'll join us to give us his insight into the Redskins' ownership and name change right here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.